And let us turn in 1 Kings to chapter 4 of 1 Kings as we continue in God's Word. We continue as we look at Solomon established by God as king of Israel in the wisdom that God gave him. This passage begins as one of those passages I think we begin to read as human beings and say, our brains gloss over and say, why does God put this stuff in the Bible? And yet it's so important because what's so beautiful about this is God remembers everyone in every way that anyone has ever served him. God knows our names perfectly. Even though other people may forget, other people may not remember, even us, as the psalmist says, though my mother forget me, yet God cares. God will take care of us as his people. And the beauty of God's care for us and God's use of us in his kingdom. And we are called to be used by God in the manners in which God allows us, gifts us, to serve him. So let us read together 1 Kings chapter 4, the whole of the chapter as our text and as our scripture reading. So King Solomon was king over all Israel. And these were his officials: Azariah the son of Zadok the priest, Aliahoreph, and Ahijah the sons of Shisha, scribes of Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, the recorder, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, over the army, Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, Azariah, the son of Nathan, over the officers, Zabud, the son of Nathan, and a priest, and the king's friend, Ahishar, over the household, and Adoniram, the son of Abda, over the labor force. And Solomon had 12 governors over all Israel who provided food for the king and his household. Each one made provision for 1 month of the year. These are their names: Ben-Hur in the mountains of Ephraim, Ben-Decher in Mekaz, Shaalbim, Beth-Shemesh, and Elon-Beth-Hanan, Ben-Hesed in Aruboth. To him belonged Succoth and the land of Hefer, Ben at Abinadab in all the regions of Dor. He had Tephath, the daughter of Solomon, his wife, Baana, the son of Ahilud, in Taanach, Megiddo, and all Beth Shean, which is beside Zaratan, below Jezreel, from Beth Shean to Abel Meholah, as far as the other side of Jokneam. Ben Geber in Ramoth Gilead, to him belonged the towns of Jeer, the son of Manasseh in Gilead. To him also belonged the region of Argob and Bashan, 60 large cities with walls and bronze gate bars. Ahinadab, the son of Iddo, in Mahanaim, Ahimaaz in Naphtali. He also took Basemath, the daughter of Solomon, his wife, Baana, the son of Hushi, in Asher and Eloth, Jehoshaphat the son of Peruah in Issachar, Shimei the son of Elah in Benjamin, Geber the son of Uri in the land of Gilead, in the country of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan. He was the only governor who was in the land. Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand of the sea in multitude, eating and drinking and rejoicing. So Solomon reigned over all the kingdoms from the river to the land of the Philistines, as far as the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. Now Solomon's provision for one day was 30 cores of fine flour, 60 cores of meal, 10 fatted oxen, 20 oxen from the pastures, and 100 sheep, besides deer, gazelles, roebucks, and fatted fowl. For he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river from Tifsa, even Gaza, namely over all the kings on this side of the river, and he had peace on every side all around him. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, each man under his vine and his fig tree, from Dan as far as Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots, and 12,000 horsemen. And these governors, each man in his month, provided food for King Solomon's table. There was no lack in their supply. They also brought barley and straw for the to the proper place for the horses and steeds, each man according to his charge. And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand of the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He spoke of trees, from the cedar tree of Lebanon even to the hyssop of the that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish. And men of all nations, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Thus far, the reading of God's word, may he add his blessing to God, our understanding of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at God's word, we look at the setup which Solomon came up with for his kingdom. Solomon had so much food at his table that we would not even be able to imagine. Solomon had great wisdom. But this wisdom is from God, and we need to understand that. Solomon is, as we might think of in the old times, a sage, someone who had great wisdom. He spoke of trees, he spoke of animals, all of these different things that we read about there in verse 31 and following. Solomon is very wise. And yet, what does God say to us through the Apostle James? If anyone lacks wisdom, ask the Lord and he will provide it richly. And brothers and sisters, the wisdom that we need is not just earthly wisdom. It is wisdom from God. Now this great company is God's blessing on Solomon, but it is Solomon's wisdom given to him by God. And if Solomon is a sage, something that we don't think of very often is our Savior is the far greater sage. He speaks to us with perfect wisdom. Not as Solomon who twisted his wisdom and used it for his own purposes. Solomon who sought his own glory. But our Savior who was marred more than any man. There was no comeliness that we would desire him. In fact, as we read in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes about the wise man who is not regarded, I think we hear about our Savior, who was not regarded. Although Christ reigns over all things, doesn't he? He may not be regarded by man, but he is certainly Lord. He is Lord of all things. And brothers and sisters, as we continue to look at Solomon and the things that he is working together, we need also to have in the back of our brains that God is working everything perfectly through his wise Son, ruling all over all things, as the Apostle Paul says, to the church, for his church. And while we may not understand how all of these things work together, we need to trust and know that he does. God works all of these things perfectly. And so as we look at this passage, we see that God, through the wisdom he gave to Solomon, provides abundantly for him and for all of his people, for all Israel. God, through the wisdom which he gave Solomon, provides abundantly for him and for all of his people, for all of Israel. In the first 19 verses, we look at delegated authority over the nation. In verses 20 through 28, we see that Israel prospers under wise reign. And then in those last verses, 29 through 34, we look specifically at Solomon's excellent wisdom. So first of all, we look at the delegated authority. Solomon places rulers over the different subdivisions of the kingdom. The king, earthly rulers, cannot be competent in all areas. And they need others with wisdom and knowledge in those areas. There are people certainly who have great amounts of competence in many areas. But even then, they need assistance. They need other people's wisdoms. And so Solomon delegates authority to those placed in authority. And notice, not all of these are directly placed in authority by Solomon. Zadok and Abiathar the priests, that wasn't Solomon's choice. As well, going back, Azariah, the son of Zadok the priest, that wasn't Solomon's choice. And yet, working together with Solomon is the opportunity to serve God in wisdom, in God-directed understanding. Now, delegated authority wasn't something that Solomon came up with. God came up with it. God told Israel, going back all the way to the time of Moses, that there was a need for delegated authority. And by the way, that is why we have a Presbyterian form of government in our churches, delegated authority. And as well, our nation was set up to follow that same principle, delegated authority. That came after the design of Scripture. That didn't come from some human being. And the more we throw those ideas away, the more we will have problems. And so we have the priesthood, we have the scribes, we have the recorder, we have the army, we have the officers, we have even spoken of the king's friend, the labor force, household, all set up under Solomon's wisdom. Set up and ruled, not directly by Solomon, even though he had great wisdom. God used people under Solomon to care for the kingdom. And then we have regional rulers, regional government. Now notice at the end of that, verse 19, there was only one of those governors who lived in the land. And that is certainly an aspect that is dangerous. We need rulers that are in the land, that know what's going on in the land instead of ruling from on high. And these different 12 regional rulers were responsible for food, each one from one month of the year. The divisions, by the way, if we look at here, were not necessarily over tribal lines. Along tribal lines. We have set up for Israel by Solomon different sections of the country, and to be ruled by different people who were responsible to Solomon, but at that same time, then they were also responsible to provide the taxes necessary to support the government that was set up. And Israel prospers. We look at the extents of Solomon's kingdom. God provides and blesses obedience. When we have obedience, when we have wise rulers, there is prosperity. And when we have foolish rulers, there is a lack. Notice what we're told, that there was no lack in the days of Solomon. And we look at the people of Israel. Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand by the sea in multitude, eating and drinking and rejoicing. This was an earthly fulfillment, of course, of the promise to Abraham. Genesis 22, verse 17, "Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies." Notice also that they spent their time in eating and drinking and rejoicing. It was a great time of blessing to be under wise rulership directed by God. But at that same time, if we remember what the commandments say, we're to labor 6 days. People get lazy when we don't labor within this world. And people expect things to be given them that are not to be given them. And then when Solomon passed away, and when his son was to be ruler, then they rebelled. Of course, Solomon's son was not as wise as his father. We're called to labor in this world, not to expect things just to be given to us. Of course, Abraham's true descendants, the true fulfillment of that promise to Abraham, is not in Solomon, but is in Jesus Christ, in the descendants of Abraham, as we are descendants of Abraham through faith. And Solomon reigned over the kingdoms from the Euphrates, that's the river that's spoken there in 21, to the Philistines, as far south as Egypt. We're told about some of the areas over in the Transjordan region. We're told in verse 19 over the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan. We're told about different places, if you notice them on the way past, that were under Solomon's rule down into Egypt and up into different areas of the land around Israel. The area that Solomon ruled over was the largest area that Israel ever ruled over. And yet, of course, Christ is the ruler over the world, and he won that not by becoming an earthly king, but of course by being the eternal king in heaven through death, giving his life for that kingdom. And Solomon, they brought tribute to him. They served him, we read in 2 Chronicles 9:26. So he reigned over all the kings from the river to the land of the Philistines as far as the border of Egypt. And we read about the provision for Solomon's table. Well, provision for one day was 30 cores of fine flour, 60 cores of meal, 10 fatted oxen, 20 oxen from the pastures, 100 sheep besides deer, gazelles, roebucks, and fatted fowl. That is a ton of food provided. There were obviously many people eating at Solomon's table. If we look at some of those who were delegated by Solomon, they had married into Solomon's family. We read verse 11, Ben and Abinadab. He had Tephath, the daughter of Solomon, his wife. There was at least one other in there. Solomon was, verse 15, Ahimaaz and Naphtali, was cementing his hand and his control over Israel by marriage into the family. The bare fact is, that's helpful, but in the long run, it didn't help his son. It did not help the cracks that were there, because what we need to build around is not family. We need to build around Christ. We need to build around the gospel. And we need that in our own culture. We don't need to build somehow around some earthly way of making peace when there is no peace. We need the true gospel, and we need to raise the knowledge of that. Not just somehow smoothing over our differences, but truly to rejoice around the throne of the true ruler of Jesus Christ, and to bow before his rule, before his word. That's another reason we need to read it so often. It's because we need to know what God says and not think our own ideas of what God says. And we have this huge provision. The people were well cared for, as we read there, verse 20, that they were eating and drinking and rejoicing. And this was from Dan to Beersheba, the whole of Israel, not just parts, as there had been from time to time under the judges, and even under David there were still skirmishes going on. This is a picture of the perfection of peace which we have in Jesus Christ. We may have peace from time to time on this earth, but we need to understand that peace will come and go here. It is broken because of sin. And God gives us eternal peace with Him through Jesus Christ, through faith in Him, in the new heavens and the new earth. We read in Micah 4, verse 4, But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. And we have, Solomon provides carefully even for the beasts. Horses, horsemen, barley, straw, provided through the governments by an allotment. But as those of you who care for animals know, we are called to plan for that. We don't just let that ride. We care for our animals. And we are called to provide. And Solomon very carefully had the governors then bringing provender for the animals to provide for them. And we're told that there was no lack, no famine going on. It was a time of great prosperity. And then we continue to read concerning Solomon and his excellent wisdom. Solomon's wisdom exceeds those who had gone before and those who were after. Solomon's wisdom and understanding is given to him. The New Testament says, "What do you have that you have not received? Why then do you boast as though you had not received it?" And I'm not saying that Solomon was boasting about himself, but at the same time, we need to understand what God gave Solomon. It was a gift. It was not something that was his inherently. And the wording here is similar to what we read in verse 20, as the sand of the seashore. Solomon's wisdom is excessive. Exceedingly great wisdom and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. And that wisdom exceeded the men of all the east of the wisdom of Egypt. So going back to Moses, who was trained in the wisdom of Egypt, going forward in history to think about the wisdom of Babylon and the wisdom of those who had come from the east. And even if we think about the wise men who came to Jesus. Solomon's wisdom exceeded all. 1 Kings 3, verse 12, "Behold, I have done," God said to him, "according to your words. See, I have given you a heart, or wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you." Now, there were those who were in his own dominion who were wise. We read some of their psalms. In verse 31, he says, "Then Ethan the Ezrahite, and Hermon, and Calcol, and Darda." We have some of their psalms written, 8 and 89 were written by some of these people. And Solomon is wiser than even those who grow up in the truth. Notice that his fame was in all of the surrounding areas. And I want to just think about that for a moment. Certainly because Solomon was so wise, his fame would go out. But brothers and sisters, it's not about us. We need, in all of the abilities God gives us, to use them not for just ourselves, but for God's glory. It is about God and His fame. And too often we like to point it to ourselves and say, "Look how good and important I am." It's not important about who I am. If you forget me, that's okay. You must not forget God. You must not forget Christ. But Solomon didn't keep his wisdom for himself. He passed it on. We read he spoke 3,000 proverbs, 1,005 songs. We read in Proverbs 25, verse 1, "These are the proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied." The king of Judah made his men copy them, Hezekiah did, so that they would learn. Good idea. Quite honestly, as we go through the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes slowly, would not hurt us to copy them, to write them down, because it's another way in which we think about these things. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 9, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set forth many proverbs." I'm sorry, it's not 9, but he said after that, I forget which verse it is my favorite verse there in Solomon. In Proverbs, he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all." What's most important is serving God. Solomon didn't always get that right. But we need to, and even as we fail, we need to always be called back to the fact that we need to put God first. And he spoke of trees, of animals, of birds, of bugs, of fish. Now, why is that mentioned? Because going back, as we looked at in the creation ordinances this morning, we're called to subdue this world. Wisdom and knowledge doesn't come just in things theological. It comes in all things. We are to use this world. We are to subdue it. God has given us wisdom as Solomon for government. Some people have that. Some don't. He has given us wisdom to use this world, to think about the animals. And all of these other things that Solomon talks about, trees. We're to use our minds to subdue this earth to the glory of God, to understand things for His glory. And kings from the ends of the earth came to hear Solomon's wisdom. People came from all over the place. We read in 1 Kings 10, "Now the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. She came to test him with hard questions." They came with their questions. And Solomon would answer, because as we read, Solomon was generous with his wisdom. And so, brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at Solomon, as we look at his wisdom, and as we look how it was laid out in the world, as he used it not just for himself, but for the blessing of his kingdom, we as Christians need as well to be reminded of the wisdom of our Savior. He is truly the perfection of what Solomon did haltingly, as all human beings serve God haltingly, even those who believe. Yet, brothers and sisters, we need to see the wisdom of our Savior, who rules over all things in perfection. And while our puny minds often don't even begin to get the part of it, when we might be able to string a couple of things together and say, "See what God did there?" God has strung everything from the beginning to the end in perfect perfection. And He has created all things, as we talked about, for His glory, for our good, and even the wicked for the day of destruction. And so, brothers and sisters, let us trust the wisdom of Almighty God. When we lack wisdom, brothers and sisters, let us be on our knees before Him, begging Him for wisdom, who gives without reproach. And brothers and sisters, let us be reminded that the most important wisdom that we could ever have is faith in Jesus Christ, is the eternal hope which we have in Him, because we get to be in heaven forever with that great sage, our Savior. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer. And we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the wisdom which You gave Solomon. Wisdom which was broad. Wisdom greater than those before. Wisdom greater than those after. We pray, Lord, even as we can in places pick it apart a little bit and wonder, yet we are not wiser than He. For the wisdom which He had was a gift from You. We pray, Lord, help us to trust in the wisdom of our great King, who is guiding all things perfectly to the end of His will, who will not send upon us a needless care. And we pray, Lord, that You would help us to trust in Him, to hope in Him, that we would spread His fame, not our own, that we would spread the fame of our great wise King, our Savior, in everything that we say and do and think. We praise You, Lord Jesus, for Your wisdom, for the wise sayings which You say throughout the Bibles, throughout the Gospels. We pray, Lord, that as we read those wise sayings in Your Word, we would gain wisdom, the wisdom of Almighty God. For we pray these things through Jesus Christ, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.